All right. I appreciate that. Some friends came from Tacoma, and man, it's so good to be back at Northwest University. In fact, I was sharing with Pastor Micah this morning, it hit me. I graduated from Northwest, get ready for this, in 2002, which means this spring marks 20 years since I graduated from this college. Now, I just need you to break my heart a little bit tonight. How many of you were not even alive in 2002? So we're just going to close this right now in Jesus' name, amen. Man, I was already feeling old when they told me this thing started at 8. I'm like, 8? It's usually when I'm winding down, but... Listen, we're going to jump into the Word in just a minute, but can I just encourage you, Northwest, and I know many of us, we're students here, or maybe we're from the surrounding area, and here's what I want most for each of you tonight. My desire is that you would encounter exactly what God has for you, because the reality is, in a matter of minutes, I'm going to jump back in a car. To drive back to my house. My wife, my kids, they'll be asleep, but they'll see me in the morning. And more than likely, and this is totally cool, you're going to forget about the dude who stood up on the stage that one night and talked. But my prayer is that you will not forget what God did in your life. That's my prayer. My prayer is that anytime we get the opportunity to preach the word, that people are more impressed with Jesus than anything else. And I think about the room that we're sitting in tonight, my friends, and literally for decades upon decades, this house has been covered in prayer. There's missionaries who have gone around the world who received the call right up here. There's pastors who are pastoring churches. Some people that you know, some people you'll never hear their name, but their significance is equally important in the kingdom. It's never about our great name, it's about our God's great name. And so today, before we jump into the Word, could you just do this? Would you just put your hands out in front of you just for a moment? And I'm just going to say a simple prayer that we would position our hearts, prepare our hearts to receive whatever God has for us. So, Father, I thank you for your goodness tonight. Lord, the Scripture reminds us to taste and to see that you are good. And Lord, already this morning, with the incredible worship team, they've kind of ushered us into this greater awareness that your presence is here. And so thank you for that. But God, we want even more of you. We want to taste and see that you are good. You're good. You're good. I pray for students in the room tonight, where right now life doesn't feel good. I pray that you would remind them by the power of your Spirit that even when life doesn't feel good, you still are good. That our circumstances don't dictate your goodness. Your nature, your character, who you are, has been clearly revealed in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Jesus, thank you that you have done for us what we could never do for ourselves through your life, your death, and your resurrection. So tonight, Holy Spirit, would you open up our ears, open up our hearts to receive what you desire to say to us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Come on, if you believe that, would you say amen? Amen, amen. Thank you so much. Man, it's great to be here tonight, and I do want to just say a special thank you to Pastor Megan and Pastor Micah for all the work that you're doing with campus ministry here at Northwest. Can you put your hands together for them and the entire team? And been looking forward to Revive Night. Hey, if you have something to take notes, would love for you to jot a couple of things down. If you're taking notes, you can write this title down: The Benefit Isn't Just For Me. The benefit isn't just for me. In a moment, we're going to go to John chapter 16, then Acts chapter 3. But how many of you grew up in an environment, you grew up in a household maybe, where there was certain things that were for use and certain things that were like, do not touch those? In our house, my parents had this china hutch, and it displayed this beautiful china. And I remember thinking, man, like, those dishes look really nice. And what I realized is that was one of those things that you could look but don't what? Touch. Look but don't touch. I remember one time I went over to a friend's house, and I remember walking into their front door, and I was about to take a right into their living room, because that's what you're supposed to do. It's called a living room, not a looking room. And I was about to step in, and my friends stopped me, and they said, no, do not go in there. I said, why? What's going on? Is it dangerous? No, we're not allowed in that room. I said, we're not allowed in that room. What do you mean? And they said, no, that room is just for looks. And I found this odd, and they pointed out, they said, look, on the carpet, do you see all those vacuum marks? I said, yeah, I see those. My mom will know if we walk in that room. Look, but don't touch. Some of us, we've had that experience in life, where maybe your parents own some things, and you could look, but don't touch. Or you had friends who were like, look, but don't touch. You see, I want us to understand that the danger with look, but don't touch things is you can see them, but you never get to experience the benefit of them. You see, what is the point of having it if you can't experience the blessing of it? And Jesus says something interesting in John chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, go with me. John chapter 16. And in verse 7, Jesus says this, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit. Can you say benefit? It is for your benefit that I go away. Now at this point, you ever have one of those scriptures that you wrestle with? For me, this is one of those scriptures. Because I can tell you guys, so many times I've been reading the Bible and I'm thinking, if I'm one of the disciples at this moment and Jesus is looking at me saying, it's actually to your benefit that I'm leaving. And I'm sitting here going, no, it's not. You are the Messiah. You fed the masses with a Lunchable. You've done amazing things. How can it be to my benefit that you are leaving? Jesus, you're the essence of all of our hopes. You're the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. You are what we've been looking for. How can this be to our benefit that you're leaving? Jesus said, it's for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Here Jesus is talking about the arrival of the Holy Spirit, this expectation that the Old Testament prophets are going to be fulfilled in the pouring out of God's Spirit upon his sons and his daughters. And Jesus is reminding his disciples, listen, this is part of the plan. And it's not just part of the plan, it's actually to your benefit. You see, the way that Jesus talked about the arrival of the Holy Spirit should make us expect that his presence should change everything. The way that Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit is a little bit different than some of us talk about the Holy Spirit. You see, there's this expectation that this is so important that I'm going to go away so that I can send this gift that you have need of. See, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are talking about God, the Holy Spirit. We can't lose sight of that. The Holy Spirit's not just a force. It's not just an it. The Holy Spirit is God. And we need to understand that there's been a lot of thoughts, there's been a lot of ideas, there's been a lot of teaching and perspectives that have come about with who the Holy Spirit is that aren't accurate. See, maybe you grew up in a setting or a denomination where there had been some thoughts that the Holy Spirit was weird. The Holy Spirit's weird. And you knew that people thought the Holy Spirit was weird because they talked about him kind of like your weird uncle. They didn't want him to show up at the family reunion. Like, oh, I don't know if we want Gary to show up. You know, when Gary shows up, things get a little bit crazy. And it's amazing how many times I've been in church settings with followers of Jesus, and when the Holy Spirit comes, well, oh, I don't know. I mean, things might get a little bit. The Holy Spirit. See, depending on how you grew up, there might be some perspective. And can we be honest for a second? That sounds radically different than how Jesus described the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Because the way Jesus talked about the arrival of the Spirit, it sounded like something that we might need. Like there's actually benefit to him active in our lives. See, maybe for you, it wasn't that you grew up in a setting that the Holy Spirit was kind of weird or off limits. Maybe for you, you had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, but it stayed in that moment. It didn't go with you. It was at that summer camp where you got that, like, warm, little fuzzy, warm Holy Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? Like, Holy Spirit moment, right? And the problem is you had that Holy Spirit moment, and then it stopped there. And here's the challenge. When that happens in our lives, we wait for another for it to become real. But it sounds like Jesus is talking about a different type of relationship, an abiding relationship, a comforter. Maybe you've watched one too many YouTube videos or TV shows, and the things were tagged as, well, that's what the Holy Spirit does. And maybe, just maybe, your heart has grown a little bit skeptical or hardened. And even when I open and I'm starting to talk about the Holy Spirit, my concern is some of us are already eyes rolled back on, oh, here we go again. This is what happens when I go to a Pentecostal college. Like I'm going to make everybody speak in tongues now, right? Like, if that's your fear, take a deep breath, ladies and gentlemen. That's not the dynamic, okay? Stay with me. If Jesus says something is good, then maybe we should create space for what he says is good. And that's my question for you tonight. Will I make room for what Jesus says is good? Will I make room for what Jesus says is good? Because how many people right now in our world may be missing out on the benefits because of misunderstandings, misinformation, or even misconceptions? Anybody else ever been guilty of having some misconceptions about some stuff? And you have to go through the journey of life to figure out that you were wrong about your misconceptions. One of those things for me was broccoli. I grew up, the only green thing I ate until after college, until I married my wife, was green beans. Canned green beans. That's like the only vegetable I liked. And my wife was like, no, you're going to eat broccoli. I'm like, in Jesus' name, no, I'm not. She's like, no, you're going to eat it, and you will like it. Do you understand? Yes, dear, I do understand. And the craziest thing happened. I ate it, and guess what? I liked it. And then something crazier happened. A couple of years ago, I'm with some friends. We're at this restaurant, and somebody has the audacity to order Brussels sprouts. And I looked at him. I'm like, bro, you realize you're paying for this, right? Like, this isn't Fear Factor. We don't get money on the other side of this. And he looked at me, he said, trust me. And I remember taking a Brussels sprout. I don't even know if that's the right, a Brussels sprouts, whatever it is. And I remember popping one in my mouth and, like, getting ready to cringe, and all of a sudden I'm like, it was amazing. I'm telling you right now, you slice those things in half, put some olive oil on it, roast it, put some bacon in there, some balsamic vinaigrette. Revival just broke out at Northwest because a dude said something about Brussels sprouts. But here's the point. Here's the point. I was almost in my 40s before I realized I was missing out on the benefit of something that I had access to my entire life. But I had already determined in my mind, I don't want that. I don't need that. That doesn't match my taste palette. Not really my flavor. You see, my concern is how many of us, we could potentially miss out on the gift that God actually has for us. And there's a difference. Understand, there's a difference between passive awareness and active presence. Because some of us, we have the right theology. We understand who the Holy Spirit is and what He does and how He wants to work. But hear me, students, the right theology should transform the practice of our theology. Because if I have all the right thinking, but it doesn't impact the way I live, something is off. And what I love is in the book of Acts, we encounter a shift from not just an awareness of the Holy Spirit, but to the activation of the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Acts chapter 3. We're going to move quick tonight. Acts chapter 3. In this story, we read about Peter and John. And clearly, Acts chapter 3, for all of the Bible scholars in the room, Acts chapter 3 follows Acts chapter 2. Somebody just wrote that down. Deep. He's bringing meat tonight. Okay. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1, it says this. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple for a time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Let me pause here for a second. This is everyday, ordinary life for Peter and John. We know that because earlier in Acts chapter 2, it says that the believers, they continued to go to the temple courts daily and met for prayer. So this is an everyday, ordinary occurrence. Can you say everyday? Ordinary. Okay. A man who was lame from birth, meaning he cannot walk, was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful, so that he could beg from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for money. Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, "Look at us." So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." Then taking him by the right hand, he raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong. So he jumped up and started to walk, and he entered the temple courts with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. I want you to think about the significance of this for a moment, because this is the same Peter who at the end of the Gospels denied even knowing Jesus. This is that Peter. And not only that, this is that same Peter who was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. He stood up and he proclaimed the truth about the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And 3,000 people entered into the kingdom that day by faith in Jesus. This is that same Peter. What's interesting, though, is that this, for Peter, was the same route, the same journey, the same temple, the same pattern that he had done day in, day out, day in, day out for a long, long time. Can I ask a question? What made this day different? What was it about this day? Because we know that the man was placed by that gate every day. And so why was it this day? What was it that was so exceptional? What was it about this day? Not just for Peter, but for this man. See, friends, I want you to know tonight that as we look around all the chaos, all the craziness in the world in which we live, what our world needs is not a church that has been entertained by a service. What our world needs is a church that has been equipped and empowered by the Spirit. Our world doesn't need a bunch of people who have been entertained. And can I tell you, I love laughing in church, man. I love singing in church. I love celebrating in church. I love doing all of that. But if we as the church of Jesus lack the empowerment of the Spirit, and we just settle to be entertained, we just settle to want to kind of show up and feel good, then maybe we will miss the opportunities that are sitting at the gate right in front of us. See, tonight I want to challenge you. Don't just settle for having an entertainment level pursuit of Jesus when God has something so much more. There's such a greater depth, you guys. Listen, I want to challenge you. Don't miss out on the opportunities to encounter God here, but understand the same God that you encounter here, you can encounter him in your dorm room. He's no different. Do they still have the prayer chapel in the guys' dorms? There used to be a prayer chapel down. Okay, that's, again, 20 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. But I remember there was this little prayer chapel. Anybody old like me, and you remember that prayer chapel? Oh, yeah, you guys weren't even alive. Never mind. I remember times in this small little prayer chapel that was down in the guys' dorms, and man, I remember meeting Jesus there. It changed me. It's where I learned how to pray. It's where I learned how to read my Bible on my own, without somebody breathing down my neck, without somebody forcing me, and it changed my life. You see, God wants you to experience his presence and his reality. Jesus was so convinced that we needed it that he said, it's to your benefit that I'm going away. Why? So that no longer it's just Emmanuel, God with you, but no, now God is going to take up residence in you. The Holy Spirit now dwells in our lives as followers of Jesus. You see, Peter and John, what happens in Acts chapter 3 was an overflow of Acts chapter 2. They are living lives that are empowered. And here for just a couple of moments that we have left together, I want to talk about a few ways that we can expect empowerment to show up in our lives. Number one is this: empowerment for every day moments. Empowerment for everyday moments. I feel a little guilty saying this, but it's amazing to me how often I expect the Holy Spirit to show up in the really special, big, spectacular moments. But do you want to know what will fill the majority of your life's days? It's the everyday ordinary. What's amazing is God cares about it all. In fact, in Psalm 139, the psalmist talks about how God knows everything, all of his days, when I rise up and when I sit down. You ever thought about that? Like, God going, wow, look, they sat down. That's a really interesting thought. God is aware of every detail of our lives, not just the spectacular. And catch this. This is so important for us to understand in a culture that is so hungry for the spectacular. But the majority of us live most of our days in the everyday ordinary. Don't miss that here in Acts chapter 3. Because what is Peter and John doing? Well, for Peter and John, this was everyday ordinary. What I love about this reminder in Acts 3 is that God doesn't just want to use you, student, in the spectacular moments or in the special moments. He shows up even in the everyday ordinary. One of the things that I loved the opportunity to do when I was young and then as well as a youth pastor was to be able to go on mission trips. Come on, how many of you have ever been on a mission trip? Anybody, are you guys doing mission trips this summer and stuff? All right. Oh, no, I did it wrong. All right, so. What I love about mission trips is we prepare for them. We've got to raise money. We go through training. We learn some new customs. And there's this building anticipation in our hearts because of the fact that we're going to jump on a plane or we're going to jump in a bus or we're going to jump in a van and we're going to go to a different location. And what's amazing, as a youth pastor, I remember seeing this with our students, they would show up with so much faith and they would, like, lay hands on people and pray for people. And I'm like, where's that in Issaquah? Just like this little sixth grade girl, veins popping out of her neck, going, in Jesus' name. And I'm like, don't you usually bring your stuffed animal to youth? But what is it about that? There's all this anticipation and expectation when we do something out of the normal. But don't miss this. For Peter and John, they did not jump on a plane, travel halfway around the world to find a guy who couldn't walk. This dude had been at the gate every day. You know what I think we need empowerment for? I think we need empowerment to, yes, do great things, because we can't really do anything, by the way, without God's strength and power in our lives. But I think we need empowerment for the everyday ordinary. Some of you need empowerment to walk yourself to the library. Take that both ways. Some of us, we need empowerment to just show the fruit of the Spirit to our dorm room mate. Person, human. I've been out of college so long. I don't even know what to call them. What are they called? Roommates. Thank you. I've been married a long time, y'all. I call her my wife, not my roommate. So, celebrate 19 years of marriage next month. Come on, somebody. We need empowerment though for the everyday ordinary. Why? Because God wants to use you even. He wants to use you as you go down to the grocery store. He wants to use you as you're walking through the city streets. He wants to use you in your neighborhood, in your community. You see, I love mission trips moments. And man, I'm so excited. I'm heading back to India, one of my favorite countries. And I'm going back again this summer. And I got family. I don't know if my niece is here. Kylie, are you here? Okay. My niece Kylie and her mom is my sister, and their family, they're missionaries in Ethiopia. And I love missions. I love the expectation. I love all the anticipation. I live it and breathe it, and I'm all about it. But understand, we should be excited about how Jesus wants to use us across the street and around the world. It's got to be both and. Because the mission of Jesus doesn't need a border to start. We need empowerment for the everyday moments. Understand, there was power for those moments. Second thing we need empowerment for, we need empowerment for open eyes. Can you say open eyes? I love this part in Acts chapter 3. It says this, that In verse 2, a man was lame from birth, was being carried there. He was placed each day at the temple gate called Beautiful so that he can beg from those entering the temple. He knew this was the perfect spot to get money because part of the practice of the Jewish faith was to give alms to those who could not provide for themselves. And it says this, when Peter and John were about to enter the temple, he asked them for money, and Peter, along with John, looked straight at him and said, look at us. I feel like Peter's eyes were opened in a different way for some reason. And my prayer is that somehow God would give us a grace to see maybe things that we've seen 100 times, see people that maybe we passed 100 times, but all of a sudden, because the Holy Spirit is activated in our lives, we're paying attention, all of a sudden, our eyes are open. Our eyes are open. We need power for open eyes. What I love about this is they saw a reality. They saw the same thing, but a different way. They saw the need, and catch this, they saw the person. Some of us, we are good at seeing the need, but can we allow God to grow the grace in our lives to actually see the person? To understand that that is a son, that's a daughter who bears the image of God. They carry the imago Dei. They are valuable to God. This is significant. You see, we can't allow the bait of constant division and offense to divide us from one another. God, open our eyes. We can't allow the simple needs in our community to go unmet. God, open our eyes. We can't allow people to be isolated, alone, and afraid. God, open our eyes. We can't allow unconcern for our neighbors who are not just listening to our words, but they're watching the fruit of our lives. God, open our eyes. How many times have they walked by the same man? I don't know. I don't know. See, sometimes we ask scripture or questions of scripture that scripture doesn't try to answer. We don't know how many times they've walked by, but I do notice this, that something shifted in Acts chapter 3. We knew it was a pattern in Acts chapter 2, but in Acts chapter 3, their eyes were opened. There's a new power at work in what they were seeing. We need empowerment for open eyes. Third thing we need empowerment for is this. We need empowerment to focus on what we have, not what we lack. We need empowerment to focus on what we have, not what we lack. Continue on with me. Peter says to the man, look at us, verse 5. So he turned to them, expecting to get something from them. But Peter said, I don't have silver or gold. Imagine how cruel that felt in the moment. It's like you going home, on break, you're talking to maybe a parent or grandparent. You're like, yeah, man, I'm a little bit short on money. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go finish next semester. And they're like, hey, come here. Come here. They walk over to their desk, the checkbook sitting right there. And they're like, I don't got nothing for you. But here's a Twinkie. You know, like that's not going to do you a lot of good. Feels like a really bad set up, and here's this man, he's begging for money, and Peter says, hey, look at us, look at me. And in that moment, the man is expecting to get what he's looking for. What he doesn't realize, he's about to get not what he's looking for, but what he needs. And in that moment, everything changes. You see, Peter did not have what the man was looking for. He didn't have the silver. He didn't have the gold. But here's the good news. He had access, relationship to Jesus Christ. And the same Jesus who was walking the streets, healing people, was alive and active and empowered through the Holy Spirit. Peter speaks to this man and introduces him to Jesus. Silver and gold I do not have. See, I believe one of the great dangers of our moment is this: being more focused on what we don't have than on what we do. Much of social media is built off of this mechanism. See, I remember being a young youth pastor, and if I wanted to be insecure about what we were doing in our youth ministry, I used to have to drive like across town to go to somebody else's youth ministry to see it. Now, from the comfort of your iPhone, you can just scroll through on a Wednesday night and go, oh, man, I wish we had lights like that. Oh, man, I wish our student ministry was that big. And, you know, we've gotten good at cropping our photos, by the way, on social media, right? Like the room's 30% full, but it looks like revival broke out. And if, come on, let's just be honest. It's okay. It's okay. Take a breath, everybody. Take a breath. Okay? We get so good at focusing on what we don't have instead of focusing on the wealth of what we do. Can I remind you, student, if you have Jesus, you got everything. Your God doesn't lack anything for your very real emotional needs. Guess what? He does not lack. For your very real financial needs, let me remind you, he does not lack. For the relational needs in your life, he does not lack. For the hope that you're looking for and longing for, he does not lack. But how often are our thoughts and our anxieties consumed with this thought, if I only had? And we focus so much on what we don't have. If I just had a little bit more respect, if I just had a little bit more influence, if I just had a few more followers. Come on, stop. Stop. Because you can hit all of those things and you get to the top of the ladder and you realize, uh-oh, I climbed the wrong ladder. It's not even leaning against the right building. See, we need empowerment from the Holy Spirit to focus in on what we have, not what we lack. We have access to Jesus. Let me remind you, Jesus is alive. Like, really, really alive. Our faith is built on the fact that our King died in our place, suffered in our place, but he rose back to life, and he's alive. And we have access to that. Don't lose sight of what we have. See, you may be looking around saying, I don't have enough, Tyler. I don't know if I have what it takes. I don't know what to do. But listen, if you have Jesus, you have something to give. What did the man want? Money. What did the man need? Healing. First, spiritual healing. Second, physical healing. And I love that Peter introduces him to Jesus. Here's the fourth thing we need empowerment for. It's just that. We need empowerment to make Jesus known. In fact, Jesus said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says that, go to Jerusalem, wait for the promise that I'm going to send, speaking of the Holy Spirit, and he said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The power has a purpose. And it's not just this. It includes that. I'm thankful for the way that God shows up in my life and I encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. But the primary empowerment purpose, friends, is that we could be a witness. And we see this being lived out right here in Acts chapter 3. Why? Because Peter and John are doing what they always do, but now there's this empowerment in their witness. And what I love, as Peter engages with this man, he says to him, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. You want to know what's so amazing about this? He doesn't just stand at a distance and go, what I have, I give you. No. Did you notice the scripture says that Peter reaches out his hand? And understand this. The power that healed that man, it wasn't Peter's. The power that healed him was Jesus. But catch this, the hand was Peter's. You see, us being ready to make Jesus known, it's going to require us using our hands, using what we have. Peter didn't have what the man was looking, but what I love is that Peter was willing to give what he had, and he had an overflow of the Spirit's power at work in his life, an overflow to introduce him to Jesus. And he says, what I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And scripture says this, that Peter took him by the hand and pulled him to his feet. And as he did, his feet, his ankles, his legs became strong. And all of a sudden, the man who had sat there day after day, week after week, month after month, all of a sudden, it's that guy who's standing, leaping, jumping, praising God. Do you know that when Jesus actually shows up and transforms your life, nobody has to coach you how to celebrate? It's not like Peter and John said, okay, now that your ankles are healed, let's teach you how to worship. This was the natural overflow of knowing what it was to be broken and now being whole. Knowing what it was to be distant and now to be reconciled and brought close to God. Knowing what it was to be lost and to be found. Knowing what it was to be dead, but now to be alive. This man is experiencing that reality. And friends, you have access to that same thing every single day. Not just once a quarter at a revive night. Not just once a week at a pursuit night. Not multiple times in chapel, friends. Every single day, we are people of his presence. And if it's been a while, I came here with one message. Friends, you don't have to stand at a distance. This is not a look but don't touch thing. No, you have access because of the grace of Jesus. The curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The very thing that kept the unholy away from the holy. Now holiness has spread out and it's filling the earth through the work of the cross, friends. It's changed everything. It's changed everything. God is still moving. God is still filling. God is still transforming. You see, friends, this is what a empowered church looks like. It's the type of church our world needs. And listen, Northwest, I want to remind you, don't just go to that type of church. Be that type of church. Be whatever church community you're a part of, man, praise God. Be a great person who's engaged at your church. Pray for your pastors. Support your pastors. Cheer on their vision. Man, be faithful and consistent in showing up at church, but don't just settle for going to church when you're called to be the church. Listen, it's easy to sit back and critique the church. It's kind of a sport right now. Some people, they should make varsity. They're doing pretty good. But I happen to believe that the church is still the bride of Christ. And the only way we make the church better and more beautiful is by being a part of it, not critiquing it from a distance. Things don't get better from distant critiques. They get better from active engagement. Aren't you thankful that we don't have a God who just critiqued humanity from a distance? But the incarnation changed everything. Can you do this? Would you just close your eyes all across this room? If you don't want to, I'm not going to make you. I'm not going to walk down there and stare at you. But understand that Jesus said it's to our benefit that he's going away. Why? So that the Spirit can empower us. We see the evidence of what that Spirit empowerment looks like in the life of Peter and John. But understand, the empowerment and the benefit of the empowerment, it wasn't just for them. The benefit of the empowerment, it wasn't just for Peter and John. It wasn't just for Peter and John to feel something in a church service. It wasn't just for Peter and John, although it included this. It wasn't just for them to pray in a new tongue. That was part of the product, and that was part of the package for sure, and it still is. But understand, the benefit, it wasn't just for them. It was for the man at the gate. I think about how many people we got. Relatives, we got friends, we got coworkers. They're, even though maybe physically they're not paralyzed, friends, spiritually, they cannot walk on their own, and they need somebody who's going to show up with an empowered life and believe that the same Jesus that raised them up can raise them up as well. So today, I want to remind you that as we pursue Jesus, as we pursue the Holy Spirit, it's not just for our benefit, although we receive the benefit, but there's literally hundreds and thousands of people surrounding this community, and they need people who have experienced the benefit to share the benefit. Today, can I invite you all across this room, would you stand to your feet? Just stand to your feet. Again, here's what I'm going to ask. Maybe you just want to hold your hands out like this, all across this room. Tonight, maybe you want to pray this prayer with me. Maybe you want to say these words, Holy Spirit, empower me. Holy Spirit, fill me. Empower me for my everyday ordinary. Empower me to have open eyes. Empower me to see what I have. Empower me to make Jesus known. Since some of you, it's been a really long time. Since maybe you've created some space, some margin, to let the Holy Spirit just move in you, to encourage you, to refresh you, to revive you. Can I tell you, tonight is that night. Don't miss this moment. Don't miss this moment. Let Him minister to you. And some of you, you're in a place where you recognize you need some breakthrough. You love Jesus for sure, man. You're pursuing God, but there's just something that you sense like, man, there's just something. I know there's more. I know that God has something else, and I just can't figure it out. I don't know what it is. Listen, if that's you, here's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask you to just step out from where you are and come join me up at the front of the stage. You just say, I know that God has something more, and I'm seeking Him. I'm looking for it. I'm ready for that breakthrough, and I long for Him to show up in that space in my life. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to invite some of the prayer team members. And here's what I love about the God that we serve. There's always more. There's always more. Others of us, we feel like we're running on empty right now. Feel like we're running low. Can I tell you, God has more. God has more. God has more. What I love, you know, the altar space is so amazing, but I want to remind us, walking forward at Northwest or any other church that I know of, it doesn't represent something's wrong with you. It represents a meeting place with God. And so can we just set that culture in place, that at times it's good for us to break out of where we are and sometimes just what we want to see God do in our spiritual lives, just taking a step of faith in our physical body, saying, God, I want you to. Sometimes the way that I experience surrender the best is when I just go like this. Sometimes when I feel dry, discouraged, and I just feel like I need God to wrap his arms around me, I'll do this. Why? Because all three of my kids, whenever they wanted to be picked up, they would do this. So, Lord, I pray tonight that you would invade this space. Lord, I'm so thankful that we don't have to beg and plead like the prophets of Baal to try to get your attention. You are already here. Your presence is everywhere. Where could we go to escape your presence? God, you are here. You're here. You're here. And God, there's some hearts in this place tonight that need breakthrough. God, there's some hearts that have been seeking you. There's some friends who have been fasting and they've been praying and they've been looking, they've been weeping, and God, they long for more of you. God, tonight, would you meet them in this place? God, let them remember the spring semester at Northwest University 2022. God, in this chapel, in Butterfield Chapel, you showed up. You spoke. You filled. You transformed. And God, I pray over each and every life that's in this room. God, we don't just want a little sip of who you are. God, we want to be filled with who you are. Holy Spirit, we want to be empowered by you. So Lord, would you come tonight? Would you fill us once again? Would you saturate our lives to the point that we are on mission with you, even in the everyday ordinary? God, that our eyes are open and we not only see the need, but we see the individual. God, that we would focus more on what we have in Christ than what we lack stacked up to those in the world around us. God, I pray that we would be empowered to make the name of Jesus known. All names. At that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that you are Lord. And Jesus, we worship you tonight. Lord, we celebrate who you are. God, there is none like you. There's none who can compare with you. Come on, young people, let's lift our voices up tonight to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's celebrate him. Let's believe that he wants to meet us tonight in this place. Listen, some of you, you're carrying a heavy load that you need to allow God to give you the grace to release. Cast it aside. Cast those cares aside. Cast the worries aside. The burdens that you've been hanging on to, the anger and the angst. Listen, there's some people here tonight, you're carrying some anger. I don't know who it is, but there's some people here tonight, you are literally hanging on to some anger. And the danger is, it's not just, it used to be something you thought you controlled, but now it's actually becoming a part of your identity. And tonight, I believe that God wants to set some captives free. So I don't know who that's for, but tonight, if that's you, I'm just going to invite you to put a hand on your heart right now. And I want to pray. God, would you set captives free? I pray for those who are carrying an anger in their heart, in their spirit. God, that there would be a freedom released tonight in Jesus' name. God, I pray for a spirit of offense or bitterness. God, whatever that root has hold of, God, I pray for freedom in Jesus' name, that you would set people free from anger, from offense, from bitterness. God, would you transform hearts and lives? And Holy Spirit, tonight we create space. Lord, tonight we listen for your voice, your call. God, we want to pursue you. And so, Lord, over these next number of moments, I pray that we would feel a freedom to worship you from where we are at, but also to come receive prayer from those who are ready to pray with us. God, as we seek to experience the fullness of who you are and all that you have for us, come on, let's worship our King together. He alone is worthy. He wants to fill us. He wants to strengthen us. Come on, let's sing this together. Like a rushing wind, Jesus, breathe within.